And everyone else, if you want to get your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. And we are all settled here. All good. We have been following what God has been telling us to do, which is to double down on our mission. And our mission is discipling, discipling ourselves, discipling others. And one thing that God put, it was like a phrase in my heart, it's been bubbling away in my spirit, about the difference between a group of people that are discipling is that it's a different thing when we get together. We're not just a group of people, but it makes us different. It's different. What's, you know, and I was thinking about what's different about a people gathering? Because, you know, we could be a group of people here, and just being a group doesn't make us anything particular except a group of people. And we can have, you know, a single purpose, and we could be, you know, you could be in a movie theater with a group of people, and you've all got the same focus to watch that movie. But there's nothing else besides the fact that we're all entertained at the same place, and then we all leave. We all, you know, we don't share popcorn around. You know, there's my popcorn. And, you know, it'd be a bit strange if the person next to you reached over and took some popcorn halfway. That would be really freaky, wouldn't it? That's not a challenge to any young people. Like, you know, go to a movie theater and just reach over and say, oh, nice popcorn. Just see what they do. You know, like, it would just be weird. In fact, it's strange, you know, sometimes to go to a place and have strangers talk to you. It's like, no, this is my space. And so you can be in a place with a group of people, but what's the difference between when we're discipling? What does that group look like? It changes. There's something about us, and these are the things that we give our attention to and we double down on. So we've been looking over the last few weeks, because 2022 is all about going out together to disciple. We're doing it together. Discipling is not an individual pursuit. It's a team sport. It's not something you just do by yourself. You do it with others, and you're encouraging. You know, Jesus said, you know, come and follow me. And then he didn't have a whole lot of individual followers. They would be grouped together. They walked together. They lived together. They followed him together. You know, and when he sent them out to minister on his behalf, he sent them out two by two. He never sent them out alone. He always sent them with someone. Ministry and working is always together. It's always about us. So when we come here, we can be just a group of people, and you know, and the phrase that's in my heart, you know, is like, you know, you can be a mob or you can be a ministry. You can just be if you're just here for a group of people with your own pursuit and your own thoughts. You know, if you're treating this like the movie theater, and up here is the show, and you're just sitting there and saying, I'm just getting what I'm getting and I'm enjoying what I'm enjoying, that's not the spirit of discipling. That's not the heart of what God has. He doesn't want us just to come and just get something and say, okay, I enjoyed that, and away we go, and don't touch my popcorn. It's all about actually we come, and one of the things that changes this from just a mob, just a group, just a crowd into what God intends is love, that we love one another. This is why Jesus said, you'll know that you are my disciples by the fact that you love one another. This will be our distinguishing fact that you are loving. And I can't say, you know, I have a general love for all the people in a movie theater, but I don't really love them because I don't really know them. You know, I don't know their needs. I don't know their issues. I'm not praying. But here, when we come, we love each other. We actually open up our hearts. We allow people to become a part of who we are, and we become part of what they are. We, you know, Bible, you know, talks about, you know, you weep with those that are weeping and you rejoice with those that are rejoicing. You know, love means we intermingle with people. That's just an element of being a disciple. Another part about disciple, and I spoke this a couple of weeks ago, is the fact that in the book of Hebrews it says, you know, don't forsake the gathering together, but come together and encourage one another. And it's all about stirring each other up. It's all about looking to take my gifts and my walk with God, but to use it to stir others up, and so we're pushing forward together. And it was very much that picture of the prophetic word we had a few weeks ago of the football team, the American football team, all taking. I think it's the running back. See, I was listening. The running back, he's got the ball, and the whole team get behind him and push him over the line. And he doesn't have to be the biggest guy in the team because he's got, you know, 10 big guys behind him all leaning in. It's a very funny thing to see all these big guys all just push. And, of course, you've got all the big guys on the other side pushing the other way. So it's quite a – just think for the guy in the middle, all right? You know, and there's actually times when you can't tell what's happened because there's so many bodies, but in the middle there's one guy with the ball, and it's where the ball is whether they get a touchdown or not, and they'll stop. The referees will come in, and have you ever seen that game Pick Up Sticks where you've got to take, well, it's a bit like that. They've got to take them off almost one at a time and not let the guy in the bottom move around because he's fixed, but they're sort of peeling him back, and then you come there and there's the guy. And you can hear the roar of the crowd when you see the football's been over the line. And it's like, because no one knows, you just see a pile on. Did he get over or not? And it peel back, and then the roar when they realize he's got there. And that's a picture of us. We come not just to get our breakthroughs, but to pull and to push and to stir others up and to get others following Jesus and the minister. So it's a team effort where we're working together. It's the Lord's cattle prod. You know, we stir each other up to good works and the things that he's doing. So those things define us. They change us from just being a group together. Because, you know what, when I go to the movie theater, I'm not loving and working and ministering. I'm also not really concerned with the person around me on my left and my right, how they're doing, or I'm not saying, you know, I'm really been thinking of you, been praying for you, or how you're going, and, you know, I noticed you didn't cheer when this action hero did this, you know, what's wrong with you, you know, come on, come on, you know, what's going on in your life, you know, how are you going, you know, and then when we leave that place, I don't know them, and I don't ever talk to them again, but here it's different. When I leave, I'm thinking and praying and sending a text or meeting them up, you know, we've got people that we connect with regularly through our life groups, or we're engaging with them. You know, this is not just a group of people in one place. We are integrated with each other for their growth and for their development as a disciple. So there are two things. The first is that there's love, and secondly, that we're there to stir each other up and minister to each other. The third one is it defines the difference between what happens when we come together as disciples, as opposed to when we just get together as a group of people, is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is what God intends when we get together. It starts off, I won't teach the bigger picture of what God been saying and doing and why he's teaching on spiritual gifts. I'll leave that for another time because it does change things, but I just want to focus on something that's very close to my heart here. In verse 1 it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, or literally concerning spirituals, the word gifts isn't actually in the Greek there, it's just concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Now let me just... There's two ways that the word unaware can be used. Unaware can be you just don't know something exists and you're unaware of it. Did you know that it rained overnight? And you go, I was unaware. I slept through. You know, oh, no, I was up, I heard the thunder, I heard the, you know. Have you ever woken up and someone tells you something's happened overnight and you were, I was unaware. It means I did not know it's happened. But that's not how this word is used here. In fact, if it's used also in pretty much, I mean, chapter 10, verse 1 says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So he was saying there, he wasn't saying, you probably didn't know this, but the children of Israel were led by Moses through the Red Sea, because of course they knew that. He was not trying to say you're unaware in the sense of you don't know the information, that this is completely new to you. Oh, we never knew about this story of Moses. The word unaware is not talking about new information. It's about a new awareness, understanding, revelation to what it means, the significance of it. So he doesn't want you to be unaware means he doesn't want you to be without the revelation of the significance of this. So you can know about the spiritual gifts, but be unaware of them. So you can know spiritual gifts are in the body of Christ, and you can know that they're, and you say, oh, I know them because I can list them. There's nine of them. There's the three, you know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. No, that's not the unaware that I'm talking about. I'm not saying, do you know that there are spiritual gifts? It's you are, Paul is saying you are unaware. In other words, you do not have the revelation as to what they're all about. You know that they're there, but you're unaware of their significance and how they're to be used. So I want us to become aware of the spiritual gifts and how important it is to us as disciples, because we need to know what these spiritual gifts are for, because that's an essential part of us being disciples. All right? We need to be aware of it, the revelation of it. So to do this, I need someone to help me. I need two people. Someone to stand here. You are not going to be embarrassed. So, you know, I'm not talking about coming up here and dressed, you know, dressed in a Mexican outfit and play a ukulele or something like that. No, you're just going to come in. All you're going to have to do is count. So I want two people. So, okay, I don't care who you oh, thank you. These two here have volunteered. Let's give them a hand. Isn't it nice when people volunteer so quickly and just, you know. All right, Brooke, you can come over this side. And Brittany, you're on this side. And you're going to come in a little bit because we need to get in the camera. Okay, so you're in the camera. You're going to count for me. All I need someone to count. Keep a count. All right, and the way they're going to do that is use your fingers. Okay, so, you know, how many know how to count with your fingers? One, two, three, four. That's all it is. Now, this side, you're representing the broadness and the variety, anything to do with group mass wideness. I'll point out so you don't have to know when it's coming, all right? So I want you to count with your fingers out wide. You are representing unity, singleness. And so you're going to count with your hands close. Okay, is that all right? And we're just going to keep account by reading this passage where when Paul talks about the spiritual gifts, the spirituals, he is honing in, and you'll see this once we do the counting, on two sides, how diverse they are, about how unified they are. Unity, diversity. Diversity, unity. Okay, I just want you to see how often this is. So we're going to start with verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts. Now, did you hear varieties? What's that? That's a plural word, isn't it? It means lots of. So, Brooke, guess what? You get one. There's varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Talking about singular Spirit. Guess what? You get one. These are quick. They're quick, aren't they? All right, you can sit down. No, there's a lot more. I want you to hear that Paul's like, he uses, sometimes we say it's about the gifts of the Spirit. You know that Paul doesn't use the word gifts of the Spirit all the way through, and he actually changed the list. There's, I think, four lists of the gifts of the Spirit in these chapters, and they're not the same. He never repeats the list. There is two gifts that he always talks about, and that's the gifts of speaking in tongues and bringing interpretation. And the reason for that is that the Corinthian church were overly obsessed with that particular gift, especially speaking in tongues, not the interpretation, the speaking, because they thought if I could get up and use the gift of speaking in tongues, I can look spiritual and sound spiritual and be applauded for my spirituality. No one knows if I'm being spiritual or not, really, because it's the only gift that you can't really discern. Because I get up and I speak in tongues, nobody knows whether I've hit the... But, you know, if I get up and give a word of knowledge, you know, Graham, I sense that you're going through a struggle with your knee, and I believe that God, and you're like, knee's fine. How many know I'm not looking real good? You know, I haven't really nailed that gift. I haven't hit the nail in the head. And I said, Graham, I'm believing for a gift of healing. And you don't get healed. It's obvious that the gift didn't quite connect at that time. So, you know, the other gifts are sort of a bit more obvious. If I prophesy, at least you can listen to that and say, well, that sounds like I believe God, but you can listen to it and say, what have you been eating at night? You know what I mean? Just cut out the pizza with the extras, you know, because you're having weird prophecies. You know, if I prophesy in English, you can at least work out whether it's God glorifying and going in the right direction. But if I stand up here and I say, Graham, I have a gift. I just speak in tongues over you. It's not that the tongues is wrong. It's just that there's no way of knowing how good that gift is in the flow. And guess which gift the Corinthians loved to use? All the time. Over and over and over again. They just loved tongues because it made them look good. And, you know, you can get a gift. To be brutally honest, you know, you could be doing all the wrong things all week and still get up and use that gift. But I tell you what, there's something about, you know, you can sense when someone's been walking with God when they're using the other. Now, you can have a discernment in your heart, but you can't actually use the gift. That's what I'm saying. You can't, the gift itself. And that's what Paul is actually leaning to. These guys are doing really good, aren't they? Just standing there. All right, sorry, I got into teaching mode. But I'm just explaining that what Paul's trying to do is say there's way more than just tongues. But he's not just telling us there's way more. He's explaining why they need to push past tongues, because you need to be aware of what gifts are for, because they were misusing it, but they also had lost the purpose of the gift. All right, so he starts, he used a lot of variety and unity. So we have, there are varieties, don't count this again, because it's just the same one. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things. Did you get that? Catch that? There's another one. In all persons. All right, so he's already called the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts, the ministries, and the effects. All talking about the same thing. But to each one, which I forgot which was single. They're here. No. Sorry, you shouldn't have been counting the last one. I got confused, did I? You should. Let's do it again. Quickly, we'll start from scratch. Because you're singular and you're everybody. You should have told me, I'm singular. Don't do that. Brittany's lost up here. You need to help them, okay? Help us. It's not that difficult, but we need help. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts. So it's multiple of healings. Have you run out of hands? Fingers? Yeah, it's gifts of healings. It's all multiple. And you've run out of fingers. All right, I'm not going to go to. You need to choose a. You know, it's like when you ran out of space on the page, you need to say. And I'm going to guess you're not going to last long either. So can we have someone up here to come on, who's going to help Brittany? Yeah, Susan, come on. Okay, so now you are leading the team of the multis. You are leading the team of singular. No. We've got trash talk over here. No, we're together. Same, unity. Okay, so another, gifts of the healing by the one Spirit. To the other, effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. There's lots happening, isn't there? But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Do you see the talk? And then listen to it. It goes into the next section. It says, for even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is in Christ. Have we run out of fingers? How are we going over here? We're almost running out of fingers. So we're up to, if I'm doing my sums right, just over 20, almost 20 in that passage, and we're down to verse 12. You see that? Many, singular. Singular, many. And we could keep going, but we're not going to run out. For we, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. You see, it just goes on and on and on. All right, let's give them a hand. Good work. We got there. We've only been practicing for 4 weeks of that. You know, when the body gets together, God expects to see the gifts and the ministries of the Spirit distributed to go out. It's not about a person with the gifts. It's about all of us with the gifts. And it's not all about it with a gift. It's about the gifts ministering and flowing. But all the gifts ministering and flowing under one direction, the Holy Spirit leading, directing, guiding it. There is one body, one head directing this. All for one purpose. And the one purpose is actually set right there at the near the start in verse 7, I think it is. No, higher up. Yes, verse 7, chapter 12. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good or the benefit of the group or the benefit of us all. It's they're all given, but with one purpose that we all benefit. So God expects that when we get together, this is why we come to bring something of the Spirit. The manifestation. People say the gifts of the Spirit, but you've got to realize it's called the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, it's the workings of the Spirit. I have stopped calling the gifts of the Spirit just by that single term, gifts of the Spirit, because it sort of locks people into a thinking. It's just one of the words Paul used. It's not what, you know, and like I said, even if you look at the verse 1 where people say, he says, you know, I do not want you to be aware. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, but he actually doesn't use the word gifts there. About three times in this passage, they actually put that English in there to try and help people understand. But he never actually referred to the word gifts. He just says, refer to the spirituals, the gifts, the manifestations, the effects, the workings. It's effectively the Holy Spirit will give you something that is to be manifested in someone else, to be affected and worked in someone else. It's a gift of grace. And the word gift, it's come from charis, grace. That's where we get the name charismatic. We come from the charismatic gifts. It means that they're not earned. They're not because you're good and holy and wonderful. It's because God has a gift. But the gift is not yours. The gift is for you to give. You are, God put something in your heart as a gift for someone else. And a manifestation to bring something that from the spiritual realm into their life. Maybe it's healing, maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's knowledge, maybe it's a prophetic direction. It's a miracle. It's something. Paul says, what are these? What do they look like? He said, well, there's knowledge, there's words of knowledge where we see something and it's something you need to know. Or it's wisdom, an ability to discern something and to know what the right path through is. Or it's a gift of healings, different healings. That's right, gifts, healings. They're multiple. You know, they need a healing here. They need a healing in the body. They need a healing in their mind. They need a healing, or it's a miracle they need, or a prophetic word which will give them something of an understanding of what God is saying in His direction. And sometimes He says it comes through a double step process where someone will speak it still in the Spirit. So it's in the language of the Spirit. But then you need to take it from the language of the Spirit and put it into the English language so then it can be understood and helped. Because otherwise it's, I'm telling and showing you the gift, but I'm not allowing you to unwrap the gift. Tongues by itself is, here's the gift. It's awesome. It's amazing. But you can't look at it. You don't know what it is because interpretation is needed to make it yours. to make, and it can be for the body, it can be for a group. In a, you know, a prophetic word might not just be for one individual, it could be for all of us, or it could be for an individual. So that's what Paul is saying. You guys, when you come and you're standing there speaking in tongues, you're the only ones getting a benefit. And the gift is not for you. It's not to make you feel so good that I used three gifts of the Spirit this morning. Whoo! Humbled by the way God used me this morning. I don't think so, actually. So if it's all about you getting the gifts and displaying the gifts, you've forgotten what the gifts are for. They're not about to show how good you are. And we say, well, it's all about God. Well, it's actually about God getting his gifts to people, getting them out there. The manifestation of the goodness of God and the heart of God and the power of God and the breakthroughs of God coming through his people to those around. When disciples get together, we bring gifts. We flow with gifts. It's what we do. We give room for the gifts. We expect the gifts. We pray for the gifts. We wait on the Lord so that we're a channel for the gifts. Can you make the gift? No, you're not the gift maker. You're the gift bringer. Unless the Holy Spirit gives it to you, you've got nothing to give. I used to, there's a passage where, in chapter 14, we won't go to there, where Paul says, listen, I'm just telling you, if you come and you do bring a gift in message in tongues, it's okay. But he said, let's not go, two, three at the most. You know, he wasn't sort of, he was saying, get on to the other gifts. That's a good gift, but it's a, you know, we don't want 10 people giving messages in tongues and nothing else because it's 10 people, the only people blessed by the people, you know, doing it. But he said, I'll give you this. If you do bring a message in tongues, this is how I used to hear it, okay? This is how I read it for many years. If you do bring a message in tongues, you are obliged then to also bring the interpretation. You cannot just bring the message. You must bring the interpretation to that. But it never says you are to bring the interpretation. Do you know why? Why am I not told to bring the interpretation? Because it's not mine to bring. It says you are to pray for the interpretation. Because unless God gives it, you can't do it. I can't just make it happen. So if I give a message in tongues, I can't automatically say, well, I'll just give you the interpretation. Because unless God gives me the interpretation, I can't give it to you. So it does not say give the interpretation. It says pray for the interpretation. And that changed my thinking. The gifts are not mine just to use. The gifts are mine to receive and pass on under his direction and under his direct and leading. And if it's not there, it's just not there. And, there's sometimes a pressure when you're praying for people. You want to get something from God, but if you haven't got that, don't fake it. Don't just push on and say, well, everyone's looking at me. You know, I've got a visiting speaker here. Everyone's expecting a prophetic word. So I'm praying, and I'm like, I don't really have anything. I better just give him a general, Lewis blessing. You know, the Lord says this, and the Lord says that. And the Lord's like, news to me. If you don't have it, don't give it. But that is not an excuse for not having it. Look at the number and look at the times in verse 31 of chapter 12. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. Want them. When he's talking about the greater gifts, he's talking about the earnestly desire the gifts that are more useful to those that would help people more. Push forward for gifts that are going to be more helpful to those around you. Gifts of the Spirit that are closer. And that's why he said, push past tongues, because tongues isn't the greater gift, because it's only half a gift. It's not even a gift until it's interpreted. Otherwise, it just stays there as an unopened gift. So, and then look at chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And again, you'll notice gifts is not actually there. You earnestly desire the spirituals. Then he said, especially that you may prophesy. Well, why is that? Because he's talking about, for the guys that are giving messages in tongues, he's saying, listen, really desire, and I'm asking you, push into the prophecy one so we don't have that, you're not giving gifts that are not left unopened. And in the middle of all that passage, we have the greatest passage where people say, oh, it's not about the gifts. It's 1 Corinthians 13. And how many know what 1 Corinthians 13 is for? It's the love, the great love chapter. Love is, love is, love is. You know, it talks about if I have the gift of tongues, and if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, you know, this is pretty pointed. It says you just become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Oh, ow. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, that's not a gift of the Spirit, is it? But if I deliver my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. What he's saying is, remember that the gifts are always about our love for each other. Disciples love each other. That's why we minister gifts. You say, well, you know, I think ministering the gifts of the Spirit is for the people that come up the front and hold microphones. Do you love those around you enough to say they need gifts and I need to be able to flow in them? That's what it's saying. The desire earnestly out of that motivation of love, because you so care for the other disciples and the other people, you just love them so much. You say, God, I want the gifts that will help them. I want to be able to minister to them. I want a free-flowing ministry. I want, Lord, this to come unimpeded. I want to be able to get words that Hey, Siri. I want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit because I love. And therefore, I want the greater gifts. I want gifts that are more free-flowing. You know, so the Holy Spirit can give me gifts. And there's a greater demonstration of those gifts and greater levels of those gifts. And I want to be able to be free in that. I want to be able to pray for someone, and when I'm praying for them, give them more than just the best of my experience and knowledge. I want something of the Spirit. And to do that, you need to have honed and trained yourself to be sensitive to the things of the Spirit so that you know the difference when you're stepping past yourself and when you're going into it. There's a, you know, you're praying for someone and something just rises up, and there's something that there's a stirring in your heart, and there's a stirring in your spirit, and you think the Holy Spirit's got something here. And you suddenly realize the Spirit has a gift for this person. And now I'm aware of it, and I'm praying, and I say, is it a word of knowledge? Is it maybe a word of wisdom? Oh, it's a miracle. It's a faith. I'm gonna take something. The Holy Spirit's going to allow me to give a burst of faith to this person. We're going to get the job done because of the anointings of the Holy Spirit in me. But you need to become sensitive and aware of that and practice that. You know, and I notice it in becoming aware is, you know, just in daily life, you know, you know, there's times when, hey, I'll tell you where you gifts of the Spirit can start to be trained, is when the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. And how many know when you're about to do something and you get a tug, and if you're like, no, this needs to be said, I'm just being honest, or you just push it down, you're losing the ability to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, if I ever do that, and then afterwards I'm like, that was wrong. I shouldn't have gone ahead with that conversation. I should have bailed and zipped it. Because at other times I have, you know what I mean? That there's, you know, everyone's making this joke and they're talking about something, and you know, it's all funny. And I'm gonna add my funny bit to it. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. Because you don't say that. Oh, but everyone else is making fun of this. Everyone else is having a dig at this. Why not me? And the Holy Spirit says, well, you know, and I'm learning. No, I don't say it. Or then it goes to the positive. And suddenly the Holy Spirit can trust you with something to say and something to be directed in. And then because you're learning obedience, and when I make a mistake in the other one, I now actually fully repent. I say, Lord, I felt a tug not to say something, and I just went ahead anyway. I fully repent of those words. I pull them back and I say, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have said that, because I am learning to be sensitive to you, and I have grieved you in that. Not that I've said something so drastic, you know, when anyone fell over. It was just the Holy Spirit said, that's not what my child says. That's not what a son of God says in that moment. You know, I remember years ago, and I talked this story. I was playing sort of football. Jordan was playing football, and I was with the dads beforehand, and one of them punched the ball but missed the ball and punched my finger, and I felt it as he hit it, and I'm like, oh, this, and he had no idea. He didn't even know he'd punched me. You know? You sort of want that sympathy of, oh, I'm really sorry, man. He doesn't even know. And it's like, I think you've broken my finger. That's what I wanted to say, you know. Anyway, I went off, got x-rays, and he had broken the finger at the joint. And then afterwards, I discovered that causes a condition where you no longer get the full movement of that finger back because it freezes up at that joint. And so, you know, the best you can do is like that. And I'm like, well, that's not what I believe God wants, free of pain and full movement. So I began to confess and declare I can move both fingers the same amount. Now, praise God, one Sunday morning in church, I looked down, and I've been saying this for months in church, but suddenly one Sunday morning, they both did. Praise God for that. But before I got that manifestation, I was with the dad and another dad at the football watching the game a few weeks later, you know, and my finger now is like stiff like that. And they're saying something, and it comes up, they say, oh, you know, I think, you know, broken finger, you know. And the other dad, who I didn't know, says, that happened to me. And look, he says, I still can't bend my finger from years ago. He actually said, look, I still have that problem now. And everything within me wanted to show him my finger and say, me too, me too. But you know what? Holy Spirit's like, really? Is that you saying me too with him? Or are you saying what you've been saying is I can bend both fingers the same? So in order to say I bend both fingers the same, I could no longer get the sympathy in that conversation. I had to smile and say, well, that's not a problem for me. But I really wanted to turn to the other dad and say, I've got the same problem because of you. But you know what? Holy Spirit's like, no, you don't. But I was at that was a choice to make in that moment. And those choices train you to be sensitive to the Spirit. So when you are praying for people, the Holy Spirit can trust you with the gifts and the ministries because you will be sensitive and obey. So if you're praying for someone, you don't just spout what you're wishing or hoping, but you actually just pull back until you've sensed something. Now, I can pray generally, but I don't pretend it's the Lord. I just pray, and then if I have something from the Lord, then I steer it in that direction. The reason we pursue and do that is because we love each other. We want that for each other. We want to be able to give the gifts. I don't have the gifts, but I want to be the channel of the gifts. And when I come here on a Sunday and when I'm meeting with people, and I'm not saying the Sunday gifts are here. We are Team 167. Does anyone know what Team 167? We've used it for 168 hours in the week. All right? Do the sums, it works. 168 hours in the week. We are ministering in all of them, not just the one or two that we had together. Do you know what I mean? We are Team 167. The other hours are all so part of our ministry. And the gifts of the Spirit flow everywhere, not just here. I have actually seen the gifts of the Spirit work in meetings and on phone calls and at coffee conversations. And I have sensed the word of wisdom and knowledge flowing in board meetings and got up and ministered gifts of the Spirit in a non-church setting. And people like, they don't know it's the Lord, but they're like, where did that come from? I'm like, that's a gift of the Spirit. That's a word of wisdom and knowledge at this time for this situation. I've had it when I've been counseling people. I've been able to suddenly just say, well, you know, I've shifted from what I know to I suddenly know what you're going through and I can explain what's happening. I can't do that unless the Holy Spirit's giving it. But it doesn't happen just here. It happens wherever we're ministering. So I'm not just saying it's here, but I am declaring when we come together, particularly gather together, oh, I am expecting for us to come. Now, I would hate for all the expectation to come to me or to the team at the front because we say, you the dudes that do it up the front. That's not how disciples work. discipling is we are all sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We are all growing. This instruction in chapter 12:31, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and chapter 14, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spirituals, was not given to the leadership. It was given to the church. This is instructions for the church, it was not a leadership directive. We have set ourselves to 3 weeks of fasting, praying. Why? Because we love each other. I want to become more sensitive and more aware so God can refine me and prune me, and I can clear off the noise and just hear from God so that I can better help you. And I can better minister to you. And I can better minister to the world and to the people out there. I can remember one of the first times. I was still a teenager. Just thinking of the year. I was a teenager. And I was at the Bayswater 7-Eleven. Didn't know it was Bayswater. That's before we were even here. I did not even know where. I got in a car to go with a group to go street witnessing. And I was from the country. As soon as they started to drive, I didn't know where we were. If they had abandoned me, I wouldn't have known how to get home. I had no idea where I was. We just get out and I just do it. And you get in the car and hopefully you go back. And years later, I realized it's just down the road. And I was surrounded by a group of young people and we were sharing and they were all, you know, who are you? You're a Christian, you're a bit strange and da-da-da. They're all having a go at me. And I remember they were saying something, oh, you know, something that, you know, they're throwing challenges. And I felt to say, you know, you're all acting big and tough on the outside, but I think on the inside, and it was sort of like that type of language, I think on the inside. And as I started to speak, I heard myself using words that I had not planned to say. It was like one of the most amazing experiences to hear yourself speaking and realize, I wasn't planning to say that. But it was really direct. It's like, not I think, or whatever. You do this, and it was like very directed at the group. And I remember the Holy Spirit just flowing. And I remember when I stopped, the whole group stopped and looked down and went quiet. And the presence of God just came on them. It's just the gifts of the Spirit. Instead of me saying what I thought, the Holy Spirit gave them all a gift of a word of knowledge that cut each of them to their heart. And I don't know where they went. You know, obviously we tried to share more, but at least each of them has had an experience where they were in the presence of God and they sensed God speaking right to their heart. Gifts of the Spirit. I want to be sensitive so I'm used like that. So 3 weeks, we are setting ourselves to minister to the Lord and to fast and to trim back so that we can hear. But don't just do it for you. Disciples do it because we love. We love those around us and we love our family and we love the world so that we can bring the gifts and the ministries and the flow of the Spirit so we can bring answers and provision to them. It's not just about me. So please prayerfully say, well, what, Lord, what would you have me to do? You sort of say, oh, it wasn't on my schedule to pray and fast. Well, that's sort of a bit what disciples do. We do what the disciples are doing. And I just exhort you to say, well, you know what? Maybe it wasn't on my schedule, but, you know, it's always wonderful when someone says, oh, God had already showed me to fast for the month of February. But I'm excited for that. But sometimes people say, oh, no, I had big plans for February. And I say, well, you know, well, just consider the fact that as a group now, this is what we're doing. So you pray. Like I said, fasting takes many effects. You know, there's Daniel fast. Daniel fasted from special foods. You know, people fast from attention. You know, fasting from social media and you know, fasting from your phone is almost as, it's pretty close to fasting from coffee for some people. You know, I'm talking about high addiction levels of fasting. But seriously, you know, fasting from constantly feeding ourselves with what's all around there, and food. You know, food can help you to quieten yourself and to actually hear what's really happening. You prayerfully ask, you work it, but I ask that you do it with this motive, because you love God and you love the disciples, and you want to become more sensitive and attuned to Him, and so you can bring and be a part of the gift bringing and the ministering and the administering to others. Hallelujah. So that's our challenge for us, what we're going to be doing over the next 3 weeks. We're going to finish with a Saturday night prayer meeting. So the last Saturday in February, we will have a prayer meeting. Obviously, on the Saturday, the 19th, we'll have a praise session. I said, that's good. I think, you know, we that's part of our seeking and praising God. Hallelujah. I've preached you into a quiet place, so I could get you aroused, or I could just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pray and release you. Father, I thank you. There's a peaceful holiness that's here. So I just want to say thank you for being amongst us, working your gifts and your ministries in our midst. For those online that have been connecting, I thank you that we've been able to minister gifts there. For people that are watching in the future, ministry gifts flowing into them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we earnestly desire the greater gifts so we can be a blessing and love those around us in Jesus' name. Amen.